Welcome to the Kanakuk Institute podcast, where we continue to equip leaders with biblical skills for a lifetime of ministry. Welcome to the Kanakuk Institute podcast. You've got Keith Chancey coming at you live from Branson, Missouri. And I am so excited today to tell you we have none other than the one, the only, Tom Nelson out of Denton Bible Church. And Mel Summerall started Denton Bible Church many years ago, and I had the privilege of coming along staff of Tommy and Mel and watching a church of just a few become a whole lot. But when I say the word whole lot, I don't mean a whole lot of people in the sense of they were concerned about numbers. What I know about Tom and Mel, the thing that they were always concerned about was the quality of the people. It was never about quantity. It was never about numbers. All they were concerned about is making an impact for the kingdom of God. And as I've got to know Tom over the years, who has invested into me, and those of you that have been to the Institute, you know he's one of the greatest teachers on the planet, a true expositor of God's Word. And we are so thankful to have him in here today. And so would you please do me a favor and welcome Tom Nelson?
It's good to be here, Keith Chancey.
Tom, you know, you just got through teaching today on the book of Ecclesiastes.
I did.
You did, and you gave us some incredibly amazing handles on that book that we could personally put in our life. Could you just kind of walk us through the book of Ecclesiastes and give us some handles that you think, man, this would be pretty easy for you guys just to think through and to get us hungry for this great book of the Bible?
Well, the first very beginning of the book, he looks at man in the machine. In the machine of nature, where the sun comes up, the wind blows, the rain falls, and is evaporated, animals born, animals die. And he just looks at this machine that's always going. And everything, we're caught in that machine. And so everything that we do, everything we create, everything that we accomplish is going to go to dust.
Mm.
And he begins with vanity, vanity, all is vanity, meaning futility. That no matter what you do and how you earn, if this world is the sole reason why you're here, it ends up in futility. And then the author will look at three different ways that people use to find meaning without God. That they'll try education, learn everything. Then they'll try hedonism to all the pleasure they can have. Then they'll try, what's our third one? They will try intellectualism, they'll try hedonism, then they try materialism. They will have all the money they can have and buy all the stuff they can find. And Solomon ends that chapter with, when I observed what I had, I hated life.
Mm.
And then he said, I despaired of life. And then he said, essentially, he was suicidal.
You know, Tommy, you and I, we've been in ministry a long time. And when you hear those words of Solomon saying that the richest man, the wisest man that ever lived,
yep.
What do you think was going on in him as he began to say those type
of
things?
Well, I think he was God's gerbil, God's guinea pig. I'm going to give you all the money, all the wisdom, all the knowledge, all the people, all the world coming and listening to you. He was the richest man that ever lived, and one of the most powerful men that ever lived, one of the most learned men that ever lived. And he said, I despaired of life.
Yeah.
Because ultimately, all that he had and all that he learned would come to nothing. And so he just concludes that chapter 2 with, that apart from God, he says, who can eat and drink and have enjoyment without God?
Mm. Tommy, there's a lot of psychology there in there.
Well, it certainly is. Before you start doing all the diverse things of life, you had better be solid on the originator of life, the organizer of life. The Bible says that from God, all things are from him, through him, and to him.
Mm-hmm.
He's the source, the means, and the object of all of the universe. Well, Solomon spends those first two chapters, and he doesn't talk about God.
Yeah.
He just says, this is life without God. And no matter what you've got, you're going to end up in complete despair. Because without God, he says, there is nothing in a man to eat and drink and sell, tell himself his labor is good. This is from the hand of God. For who can eat and drink and have enjoyment without God?
Mm.
And so you have to begin your life with God. Mm. When Adam was created, the first thing he saw was God.
Yeah.
And then in the light of God, he came to understand the universe. As God walked with him in the cool of the day, he understood nature. He understood his body, his wife. He understood life that would come from him, what he was supposed to do to subdue the earth. And so Adam was a theologian. He saw God. Man has to be the same way. Mm. Man has to begin with God. And so those two chapters are kind of the beginning critique. And then he goes to that very famous chapter. There is a time, turn, turn. There is a season, turn, turn. The birds sing it. And it's that there is a time in the sovereignty of God for life and for death. And so this decree of God, his sovereignty, has allowed for and has purposed death. It's a fallen world. And so life will never stay the same. It may be bad, but it'll get better. It may be good, but it will never get perfect. It's going to always be a problem. And so he looks at this crisis, that things happen that are not good, because we know of no human beings that can have a perfect existence without any pain. We'd all like to, but you can't have a perfect existence. Something's going to cause a problem. And so he looks then to, in this crisis universe, what can be done to give any meaning to man. And he just says, you need to trust God, to obey God in what you can do. You need to trust him in things you can't, and you need to enjoy life. Mm-hmm. Eating and drinking and good friends, you and I have a lot of fun together, and yet we're in a fallen world. Mm-hmm. We enjoy God. We enjoy our family. We enjoy good times. We're both doing all right, but we're not fabulously wealthy, but we enjoy Rocky Road ice cream. Mm-hmm. You enjoy going to the Himalayas and trying to scale Everest. I enjoy, what do I like? I like going to the East Coast and visiting my children. And so you can do things that you enjoy, even though you know you're going to die. And then he just takes a look at that in life you have injustice, mm-hmm. and you have rivalry and keeping up with the Joneses and materialism. And you have oppressors and bad guys. And his conclusion is that as you go through this, you may need to be careful how you approach God, that you don't approach him angry and mad at how things have gone, that you still honor God in a wicked world and you rest in him. And then he will look at the things that you can do to clarify your vision. And there's three of them. He says, number one, you need to recognize that you don't know everything, that you're not on the receiving end of all knowledge, that there are things that happen that you don't understand, and you don't really understand about prosperity. You think prosperity is everything if you have it. God said it can cause a lot of troubles, and you think that difficulty is the worst thing ever happened to you. God said difficulties are going to shape you. And you think that because you can't understand that it must not have meaning. Is there a chance that something smarter than you are out there? And so he says, you better change your perspective on wealth, change your perspective on hard times, and change your perspective on you. Money is not everything. Difficulty doesn't mean that everything's done. And you can't live your life thinking that if you can't understand everything, you can't live.
Tommy, let me just ask you a question, uh-huh. because I know you, several years ago, you went through depression, right. You had a heart attack. You know, there was great pain in your life. Did you turn away from God during that time?
No, it was just like, I've known of in your life, you've had some hard mm-hmm. licks come to you, and both of us have had to coincide with them. Mm-hmm. Yet this thing happened to me, but God loves me, and God is in charge, even though I don't understand. And I can take the next step. Elizabeth Elliot said, when you go through life, you simply sometimes must do the next thing.
Mm,
you just do
word.
The next thing. Do the next thing. Tom Hanks said in his movie, what is it, Castaway? Is that the name of that movie?
Yeah, the one that was on the island.
Where he's on the island. He said, I just had to keep breathing and see what the tide brought in the next day. Mm. And in life, you don't get rid of a lot of problems. You coexist with them. And you see what the tide brings in, and you mm-hmm. do the next day. So, yeah, I had to mush on through that. Yeah. And a lot of times in life, you know that the stupidity you've done has brought this on.
Right.
And so life has chastened you. And that's a good thing, because now you have to stop. Life will not put its blessing on disobedient men. You have to back off and say, why have I gotten in this place? And then Solomon looks at things that you can do to always make sure you're on the right road. That in tough times, you always do the right thing. Mm-hmm. You never go wrong doing the right thing. Mm-hmm. And then you need to do what you would call the pleasurable things. You enjoy Rocky Road ice cream. Yes. And a good banana split and a good steak. You enjoy sitting out by the hot tub with your son and your daughter and just enjoying the day. You enjoy going fishing. You and I used to do a lot of duck hunting together. Yeah, my brother and I would go bird hunting, dove hunting. That you do enjoyable things. And then that you do it when you're young. That you don't wait till the end of your life and waste your youth on being stupid. Mm. Often in the Bible, it will say, young man, do this. Young man, Solomon, the Proverbs. Young man, flee. He doesn't say flee old man lust. He says flee youthful lust. Mm.
You know, Tommy, as you and I have gotten older, we look back and we see a lot of people that we've ministered to. And they go through, you know, maybe a stroke or maybe they've had cancer. Right. Or something has gone catastrophically in their mind wrong. And they say, if God is good, they've always known God, but all of a sudden at that moment, their faith is tested.
Yeah.
How do they, you know, what would you say to the audience? Does God test people?
Yes, he does. There we count it all joy when we encounter various trials, mm-hmm. knowing that the testing of our faith produces endurance. The Bible is replete in the fact that sufferings are not contrary to the will of God. That God can change things. God can be with me in the furnace. And I just need at times to walk with him. When you read the Psalms, David is always waiting on God. Mm-hmm. But while you wait, you do the right thing. You can still enjoy life. And then you make sure that as you enjoy life, you don't waste your youth. A lot of times, the guy that brings pain on themselves when they're young, mm-hmm. you don't walk away from life by being young. Mm-hmm. You submit yourself early to God. And then he goes into the fact that that as you go through life, how does he put it? That you can always be bold. You can invest. You can invest and you can be bold. You know that you and I have enjoyed marriage, but mm-hmm. marriage has its trials.
Yes.
We work in businesses, but business mm-hmm. has its trials. The Christian church is wonderful. It has its trials. That you can't get a perfect situation mm-hmm. that is out there. But because of that, you can't fear about getting married or having children because things might happen. Mm-hmm. You still have it. I mean, your two children have had struggles they've hit. My sons have had struggles that they have hit, medical problems. You might have a child with dyslexia, but you still have a child.
There you go.
Even if a child can go do some stupid things, you have to keep living. Mm-hmm. Even though things might happen, you keep living. And then he kind of ends the book with, you need to know your Bible. Mm. You can know your Bible. That the writing of many books, secular books, is endless and it's wearying to the soul. Excessive devotion is wearying. Secular books and knowledge are okay, but they're not beef Wellington. They're just popsicles. Mm-hmm. And you need to know your Bible mm-hmm. and know it well. And he just ends the book with, when all has been said, fear God and keep his commandments, because this is the all of man. So Solomon kind of arrives at a Westminster confession.
Yeah.
That they just like he began the book, mm-hmm. that the chief end of man is to know God and to glorify him forever. Mm-hmm. Jesus said, this is eternal life, to know thee, only true God. David said, thou hast spoke to me and said, seek thy face, and thy face, O God, I have sought. David was a man after God's own heart. Mm. Noah walked before God. Abraham walked before God. That's always where the heroic men begin. Mm. They know God, and the other things settle around them.
Tommy, those are great words, because I know out in the world, you know, You grow up and you think everything's supposed going to work out really good. We're going to get married, have a lot of kids, the perfect job, the perfect home. And when one of these little chinks in the armor happen, all of a sudden we crumble.
Yeah.
And it becomes such a disappointing thing that we think these are bad times rather than embrace those and say, you know what? Romans 8:28 says all things work together for good to those that love God, to those that are called according to his purposes.
A lot of people spend their lives running from reality.
Yes.
They're going to get them a house in Destin, not just to go there periodically. They're going to live away from the rest of the human race.
Yeah.
I'm not going to get married. I'm going to live away from the human race. I'm not going to have kids. And I'm going to leave my wife and go live by myself and stay away from churches because bad things happen.
Mm.
But no matter how far you run, you're going to run into yourself.
Mm.
And there's going to be problems. You have to coexist with a fallen world and know how to do it.
Mm. And make a difference and allow God to refine you. And rather than turn away from him, turn to him, run to him, run to the cross, and understand his eternal life is there for us.
And you can make a difference. You can know your Bible, live your Bible, and then lead others in your Bible.
Oh, boy.
And I've spent my life learning my Bible, trying to walk according to it, but then taking guys that don't know it and say, let me give you a hand.
Yeah.
I remember when I went to seminary. Seminary is the word semen, means seed. It's a seed bed. And I had Howard Hendricks and Zane Hodges. I had Lewis Johnson and Charles Ryrie and John Walvoord build into my life seminal ideas that have grown into oaks and redwoods in my life. And so that's the greatest thing you can do is put an oak or a redwood in a young man's thinking.
Mm. Boy, I just thank you for these words today because we're in a, like you said, a fallen world in desperate need of a Savior. And today, if you're listening in the audience and you're going, you know what? I have been dealt a hand of really some difficult things. Rather than run from God, turn to him today and get into your word, get on your knees, draw people to you in prayer. And just fall in love with the one that we have a eternal security coming. But until we get there, as Solomon said, man, it's going to get rough. And vanity of vanities, all is going to be vanity. But there is a day coming that we will stand before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And there, it will be a perfect place in heaven. And until we get there, hang around Tom Nelson. Go to Denton Bible Church, come to the Kanakuk, and enjoy life with us.
Until that time.
That's it. Let's eat two scoops of Rocky Road.
Two scoops, my friend.
Hey, God bless and have the best day ever. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.